Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin is back today after another lengthy vacation where he went to some convention and partied all day long. I'm not surprised. And, of course, he's all excited about IndyCar season. How about a quick poll, show of hands? How many of you knew it was IndyCar season? No. All right. Well, we'll get to that a little bit later. It's a big week. The Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is tomorrow at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. I'm looking forward to being there in the morning flight. Kevin and I will be there. We'll do the show from the Susquehanna Valley Country Club tomorrow afternoon once our round is over with. We're thrilled and excited about that. And great to be together again and on location again at a great event. And hopefully whatever you can do to help out the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, greatly appreciated to help out the kids. That's what this is all about. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Sunbury Motors is a major contributor to the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. And, of course, the Hilsters General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Hilsters General Store is 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilstersstore.com. We'll come back, set the tone for the day in a moment. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
When you're number one, you want to stay there. Sunbury Motors was ranked number one in sales volume for Ford and Lincoln in the entire Harrisburg zone for March. And SMC plans on continuing this trend for April. Choose from over 125 new 2013 Ford F-150s, priced as low as $21,954. SMC has over 50 of the totally redesigned 2013 Ford Escapes, starting at $20,750. The 40 MPG 2013 Ford Focus is slashed to a historic lows, priced from just $14,880. If you're looking for a top-end luxury vehicle, Sunbury Motors has new Lincoln MKZs, priced up to $10,000 off. With financing rates as low as 0% for 60 months and a selection of over 400 new Ford and Lincoln vehicles, Sunbury Motors is the clear choice for your next vehicle. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. SMC, proudly serving Central PA for almost a century. Hurry in, sale prices end April 30th.
So you're back today after another respite?
Yeah, I take these to freshen up.
Freshen up what?
Freshen myself up. You know, this is so I can be on the cutting edge for you.
You know how I feel about yesterday's junkets.
Well, it was a really good opportunity to talk to a lot of people about a lot of different things in the broadcast industry.
Blah, blah. You know what?
By the way, I'm getting a little bit of myself back again.
You're getting a little bit of yourself back again?
Yes, from your Sunbury Motors studio. And don't get me wrong, I like listening to myself. I mean, I have a lot of fun listening to myself, but I don't think anybody else wants to hear me twice.
Well, I only hear you once, so.
Well, that's good.
But
I can't change what you want me to change. I have no idea how to do it. I think it's actually on your end.
Well, you talk for a little bit and I'll figure it out. How's that?
Well, that's fine if that's how you want to go about business. I mean, you know, so you felt refreshed in talking to other people about this industry. To me, I'd rather just do the show, and if they want to call me, they can call me in their own time.
Well, there's a lot of good ideas out there, and I want to make sure we're using a lot of those good ideas.
Such as?
Well, I'm going to make them a big surprise for you. I don't want to use them all. I don't want to use all my stuff at once.
Look, here's the... You know what you do in this industry? All right. I just finished reading a book by Kurt Smith. Kurt Smith wrote a book years ago entitled Voices of the Game. I am, by the way, trying to get Kurt Smith on this show. Kurt Smith at one point was the speechwriter for George H.W. Bush. He has written other books since. And the book I just finished reading, I read Voices of the Game years ago, and it's a book I'd like you to read at some point. I'd like you to borrow the book to read this. I just finished reading a book entitled Mercy. Mercy is the story of 100 years of Fenway Park, but as seen through the broadcaster's eyes. Now, obviously, for the broadcaster's eyes, at Fenway Park did not begin until, I think, 1927 with Fred Hoy. But that's how he wrote the book from that perspective. At the end of the book, he talked about how the Fenway Park model and what they do is something that all in Major League Baseball need to take a long look at. Now, you can't create tradition, but in broadcasting, and this is something I've talked about before, you have to have an announcer that fits the area they're in, that fits the region they're in. Bob Prince worked perfectly in Pittsburgh. Interesting enough, when Bob Prince was fired by Westinghouse, they brought in Milo Hamilton, an outstanding announcer in his own right, called Hank Aaron's 715th, among others. It didn't work for Milo Hamilton at all in Pittsburgh, in part because he was Bob Prince's replacement, but also because he was not of the style of Bob Prince. Yet when he left and eventually ended up in Houston, the people in Houston loved him because he fit Houston baseball. He fit Houston sports. Harry Callis, meanwhile, left Houston and went to Philadelphia. Harry Callis fit Philadelphia like a glove, as did, by the way, the very underrated, understated Andy Musser. Fran Fischer fit this state perfectly. Merrill Reese fits Philadelphia. Bill Hillgrove fits Pittsburgh. As I mentioned, Fran Fischer fit this entire state. Jack Ham fits this entire state. Because they know their audience while just being themselves. They don't have to reinvent. They never had to reinvent themselves in order to fit the area. Now, did they talk about that at your little convention yesterday?
Not that I recall.
Because in reality, that is what this industry is about.
However, Mike Ditka did talk about how analysts now start to criticize as a part of becoming an analyst instead of just analyzing and adding to the game the information that they have and that they know.
And he's absolutely correct in that. Okay, Lanny Fitzgerald and I had a conversation about this once. And Lanny said that when he looked up the definition of objectivity, he said, Steve, I looked up objectivity, and not once did I said, must be critical. What has happened over time is that people have equated criticism with objectivity. Well, if you're critical, you're objective. We all have our different ways and different styles of going about it. And again, you know, look, I'm not saying I fit, do whatever. That is up to you, the audience, to let me know if I fit. But I do know Fran Fischer did, and I do know Jack Ham does, and I do know Harry Callis in Philadelphia did, and I do know Bob Prince did. Okay, so I'll, you know, I'm not including myself in the conversation, pro or con. But when Jack Ham analyzes a game, he just analyzes the game. I think when I announce the game, I think I just announce the game. Yes, do I show a natural emotion toward Penn State? I mean, I don't openly root for Penn State on the air, right? But people do know which team I want to see win. And you know what? That's okay to admit it. That's called honesty. I don't go in to broadcast a Penn State game with the idea, boy, you know, well, I'm just going to play this thing down. Look, I'm broadcasting to Penn State people. I'm a Penn State guy. But if Braxton Miller makes a great play, I will tell you Braxton Miller made a great play. If I think, for example, Urban Meyer made a great coaching call, I'll tell you I think Urban Meyer made a great coaching call. Okay? If I think Tom Crean did something really great with his lineup and made a timely substitution, I will tell you he made a timely substitution. I will tell you that Draymond Green is an outstanding player and why. Those, not one of those are Penn State people, but I'll tell you why. That way, with the idea is, to me, you know what the best thing an analyst does and the best thing a play-by-play person does? Best thing a play-by-play person does, in my opinion, is paint a really good, accurate picture so you can close your eyes and see the game if you're not syncing it up to TV. And be straight with the audience. An analyst, the best ones are the ones where you feel you know a little bit more about the game than you did before when the broadcast is over. To me, that's the name of the game. And knowing who your audience is. And you have to have a genuine love, as far as I'm concerned, for the area. Okay? You and I genuinely love the Susquehanna Valley. The people there are incredible. It's a special breed of individual that lives in our area. Difference makers on an everyday basis. Hard workers. Love their sports. Work hard, play hard, root hard. Passionate. Tomorrow, you and I will be part of an example of that, of people coming together in this great community that we call the Valley for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Bonnie Wasmer and everybody will be there. Sunbury Motors is a major backer. This will be at Susquehanna Valley Country Club. So you have to have a genuine affinity and a love for the area that you're in. And I may have grown up in New England, but I have now spent the last 37 years of my life in Pennsylvania. Okay? I love this state. I drive all over the state. And you know the first thing I think of as I drive through this state? I don't care where I'm going. Northern Tier, southern area, out west to Pittsburgh, off to the valley, down to southeastern Pennsylvania, the Lehigh Valley, up to the hard coal country in Scranton. Is how beautiful this state is and how great the people are everywhere. I don't care what community I go to or what group I speak to, because I'll do 11 or 12 of these speaking events a year. And when I drive there, I always think to myself, what an absolutely gorgeous state this is, how lucky I am to live in this state. And then, above all, how great the people are. I wouldn't trade this state for anywhere. I grew up in New England, and I love New England, but I wouldn't trade this state for anybody. I wouldn't trade broadcasting in the Valley for anywhere. See, I think you have to have that kind of natural feeling for it. Ditka was made for Chicago. He was not made for New Orleans. He's a Pittsburgh guy.
Steve, I got Letty on the line from Lock Haven, wants to jump in.
So what else did you get out of this?
I got a lot of fun stuff out of it. But we'll get into all that later.
That's just a genuine feeling on our part. And how we feel about it.
I got a lot of fun stuff about it, but I'll get into that a little bit later. I have Lenny from Lock Haven on the line for you, Steve.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to hear from you.
I just want to say I jumped on just as you were talking about Bob Prince and how you I think you do a fantastic job. If Michigan State scores an exciting touchdown, your voice is just as excited as if Penn State scores a touchdown in that same way. And I think that's what's great about what you do and why I enjoy listening to you on a Saturday afternoon as over watching whoever's, you know, we have the sound down on the TV, even though we see the call, we see the score happen before you come over the air. It's great. But anyway, real quick, my great-grandfather was Rosie Rosewell, who was Bob Prince's mentor. I don't know if you know the name Rosie Rosewell, but he was the first, as you call, homer, because he sat in that booth and he rooted for Pittsburgh and was unabashedly rooted for the Pittsburgh Pirates way back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Rosie Rosewell is a legend. I never had the privilege of meeting or, you know, but I've heard clips over the years. And yeah, and Bob Prince gave Lenny justifiably a lot of credit for that. And in Pittsburgh, that set the tone for the kind of broadcast that you have in Pittsburgh. And is it the same one that's going to work in New York or Boston? No. But New York and Boston's not going to work in Pittsburgh either. And I think how a game is broadcast here in Pennsylvania is not going to work in Tennessee. And the guy in Alabama is not going to, or Auburn is not going to work up here.
I would agree 100% with you.
Yeah, and that's one thing about having SiriusXM. I listen to games all over the place now. And, you know, the regionalisms are interesting. We have our own taste and what we like and enjoy. You know, and very kind what you said to me. I appreciate that very much. Although I'll point out to you, I'm far more excited when the team that wears the white helmet scores.
Yeah, but if it, as you said, if it's a great play, you can hear it in your voice because you're excited to see these college athletes do some of the things they can do on the field.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think that's objectivity. I mean, you know, when you do get to, you know, it's interesting. People have over the years have told me, you're a homer, and I really don't care if they think I'm a homer or not. Look, I know which team I want to win, and you, the listener, know which team I want to win, okay? I'm sorry. You don't think Paul Keels is sitting there at Ohio State hoping that, I just want to see a great game today? And naturally, he wants Ohio State to win. I want Penn State to win. You know, but you can objectively tell somebody that Draymond Green is a great basketball player, and here's why. And I can tell you that Braxton Miller is a great athlete playing quarterback, and here's the reason why. That way, when the game's over with, maybe you learn more about the game.
Yep, and that's why, like I said, we enjoy listening to you guys prior to the game and during the game because we get more out of it than watching the national television just do the game.
Well, I appreciate that, Lenny, very much. Thank you for the very kind comments. I appreciate that. Lenny, we have to go to the news at the bottom of the hour because we're paying Sarah Bartlett a lot of money. So we might as well let her work. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Howdy, how you? Great to have you on board today.
Are you auditioning for the SEC Network? I'm sorry, the SEC ESPN Network.
Nope. Not doing that.
Or maybe the Longhorn Network. Hey, I have a question for you. Is this story...
The answer is no.
Oh, well, that explains it. Is this story on websites because it's the part of the football season where literally nothing is going on? Did you hear about Ryan Clark and what the Steeler secondary man was saying about the Steeler safety was saying about Brady and Welker?
No.
Well, he was talking about what Wes Welker meant to the Patriots. And this has really gotten blown out of proportion. He said, I think it's really underestimated is Wes Welker's importance not only to New England but to Tom Brady. Losing him is huge. I know they think Danny Amendola can come in and have the same type of numbers he had with the Rams, but we also have to remember he's fragile. Okay. Now, is there anything in that statement that is wrong? I mean, I don't think there's anything in that statement that's wrong, Steve.
Look, I talked about this yesterday while you were off playing. And I can see the look on your face now. Yeah. I think one of the things that you want to avoid is turning your sport into a soap opera. I think that's one of the worst things that you can do. The NBA has become a soap opera. When you listen to the coverage of it, is it Kobe's team? What about Kobe and Dwight? What's the deal? What's the deal with Dwight? Why is Dwight frozen out? Why is Kobe? And you hear that all the time. The voting about LeBron and being MVP. Washburn from the Boston Globe voted for Carmelo Anthony, not because he doesn't think LeBron's the best player, but because he thought that the reason the Knicks finished second is because Anthony had a career year, and without him, they don't even make the playoffs. That was his opinion. That becomes a soap opera. Now, and I realize that we are in a business or doing a show right now where big impact issues will drive a show. Hey, the day the sanctions came out, how big do you think our ratings were?
Yeah, I can't even think. I mean, it was. I know the calls poured in, that's for sure.
The week of the Ohio State game, when we paraded one guest after another from Jack Ham to Paul Keels all the way through, building up to that game, how big do you think our ratings were? When we had Bill O'Brien on the day that he decided to let everybody know, well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying at Penn State. And we had the one interview with Bill O'Brien when he called into the show. Okay? How big were our ratings and how big were the hits on our website from that interview?
Well, I was getting calls from every outlet known to man.
Okay? But it's the big things that do drive it. Now, that part I do understand. So when we're talking about such things, okay, I get it. Because you're trying to address topics that interest people. We talk more wrestling and have more wrestling guests on this show than they do in Oklahoma City. Why? People are interested in hearing Kale Sanderson on our show. There's no way Kale Sanderson is on a show in Los Angeles. No way. Kale Sanderson would never be on a show in New York. Would he?
Probably not. Yeah, no, I can't see that happening.
No, because there's absolutely zero interest in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, whatever, in the sport of wrestling. There's none.
Wisconsin,
okay?
Maybe.
Okay. Even then, I'm not so sure. Okay? Wisconsin's football country. And much more basketball country. Okay? The Southeastern Conference, the SEC network, okay? The SEC doesn't have wrestling, you know. Okay, the SEC does not have the sport of wrestling. That's why Missouri's in the Mid-American Conference when it comes to wrestling, because they couldn't stay in the Big 12. They left the Big 12 for the SEC. So they had to put their wrestling program somewhere. They're the only program in the SEC that has the sport. So they're in the MAC.
So we, you have to be able to regionalize what you do in this industry to fit the area. And that's what it comes. So you have, you know, you. So the big events, the big moments are, yeah, that you talk about them. And believe me, the ratings go through the roof. More listeners want information, want to know what's your opinion, what's happening. Wow, can't believe you landed that interview. Great interview. Love, you know. And, you know, we try to land as many big ones and as topical ones as we can. And I think if you go through the website, you'll see that we have been able to land some big-name people in the 15, 16 months we've been on that have an impact at that moment, at that time, that are talking about the things that people in the Valley want to talk and hear about. The Indianapolis 500, by the way, is coming up later this month. Last year, Kevin landed Vince Welsh. We'll get somebody else again because that's the next big event. We'll be broadcasting from the U.S. Open. It's in Pennsylvania. Big event, we'll be there. When Pocono rolls around and brings IndyCar, we're going to Pocono. That we're putting the show and putting you in spots as listeners that you probably would love to go to or be at or hear from. At least that's the idea that we have. So when Ryan Clark makes statements about Danny Amendola, about, yeah, it has some impact because it has that soap opera feel to it. And to me, the NBA, I mean, that's the part where I sit there and go, you know, LeBron and Kobe and these guys are known by first names. And so those juicy little tidbits are interesting. Tomorrow we'll have a guest on named Lee Gordon in the final half hour of the show tomorrow who actually counsels athletes on how to deal with social media, how to deal with the employer, and how to deal with the media.
But you know, I think you're right on the money with this story especially. Because this, let me give you where I got it from, CBSSports.com. That's the first place I saw it. And underneath a picture of Tom Brady setting up an offense against the Steelers defense, the caption is, Tom Brady will no doubt remember Ryan Clark's words in November. That is right there. That's soap opera right there.
Sure, sure.
That is setting up the soap opera. But did he say anything that was, that is billboard material or bulletin board material? I honestly don't think so. Is Amendola fragile? Sure. Only 11 games last year. And just one game the year before.
He gets hurt a lot. And Wes Welker
didn't miss a game.
Wes Welker pulled an Adrian Peterson before Adrian Peterson.
I mean, he didn't miss a game, caught 240 passes. Amendola had 68 passes caught. So yeah. There's some stuff to back that. But again, with it being this time of year and the NFL being a big topic, no matter when it happens, that becomes a bigger story. If he says that right before draft day, I bet you don't hear a whole lot about it.
Probably not, but it happens now. And, of course, you know, look, we're in an industry right now where, to be honest with you, Kevin, for those who go into an interview looking to somehow entice the juicy quote that's the headline, you're rarely going to get it now. To me, the good interviews today are the conversational interviews where, again, just like a game, do you feel like you either know more about the person or about their opinions or how they feel about things than you did before? You're rarely going to get that juicy quote like that Ryan Clark quote. That ends up being a pretty good quote. You're rarely going to get that these days. Most people are very cautious, and they're very, when they're interviewed, they're more cognizant of what they're saying, and they don't want to stray too far. I mean, you notice that left and right when you interview people.
The filter's up.
Everybody's filter's up.
That's what I like to call it.
From a county commissioner to an athlete. Okay? One of the, that's why I don't do gotcha interviews. In fact, I've only done one gotcha interview in my entire life. And it was a TV interview. And you want to know why I did this to this guy? Because it was a TV interview. He thoroughly and completely insulted our crew. I mean, thoroughly and completely insulted our crew as they were setting up and working as fast as they could. He acted like he was the most important person in the world and that the whole world revolved around them, and he was not nice to those people at all. So I'll freely admit to you that I set him up. And the look on his face when I did it, okay? But it was like, you know, and because loyalty means something. And those people that he insulted and acted like he was the most, and look, I was professional about it, but I did a line of questioning that built up, and then I looked at him, and it had to do with social media, had to do with emailing. And I finally set him up, and finally I looked at him, I said, well, don't you feel like you lose that sense of communication where you can look at somebody one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, and you can read exactly what they're thinking? And he started getting really mad about it. I said, well, you feel like you've cut yourself off? I said, right now, I can look at you right now. You're not very happy with the question I asked you.
But the other side of that, as a listener or a viewer, I don't want anybody softballed the entire time. I want you to ask, as an interviewer, a couple of questions that dig a little bit. I mean, they don't have to be insulting, and you don't have to try and turn it into a gotcha moment, to use a term.
But it depends on who it is. It depends on who it is. We had Tim Brando on. What do you want me to do, dig?
Well, again, that's one of those situations where it doesn't fit.
There's nothing to dig at. We have Bill O'Brien on. There's nothing to dig at. Okay?
You know, there are many times where there's a coach's interview going on, and I wouldn't mind knowing if you, in a respectful way, hey, it was third down and 14. What was going through your mind when you decided to run the football?
But Jack and I asked those questions.
Oh, I know that. I'm not saying.
I'm just
this.
Saying.
No, I agree.
We asked, if Bill's on there, we've had Bill and I, Bill, third down. What was, you know, it was third down and four. What was the thought process that went through with that call? You know.
Right. There's a way to ask that question.
Yeah. But I'm saying, and that just allows them to now answer the question so they can tell you. The most important part, okay, the worst interview is the one where you're there and you're going at them and you're going at them and they just shut down and tell you nothing. Okay. You do not ever walk out of an interview where you feel like, yeah, you know, where you look at your colleagues and go, yep, I asked the tough questions. If you get no answers, your interview stunk.
There's no sense in running it.
Okay? If you get no answers, your interview stunk. If you sit there with the idea of, like, I can look at my colleagues and I say, I asked the tough questions. Well, guess what? Maybe there's a way of asking the questions that at least draw out some information. Interviews should all have information in them. That when you're done, you've learned more. And you ask as many what and why questions as possible. You don't sit there and do interviews like, hey, great game. Great game what? You ask what and why questions, as many what and why questions as possible, and try to stay away from as many yes and no questions as possible. Tomorrow, we'll watch Kevin applaud anytime any of us makes a bad shot. Nothing like being around a good teammate. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Sands of the hourglass say we've got three more minutes to the top of the hour, then the sand runs out for this hour.
You were talking about soap operas. That's the only thing I could think of.
You got to give me credit. It bounced back quickly. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you sat there and you listened to Ditka. You traded swap stories with people about the business of radio.
You know what I didn't realize about Ditka is how tall he was.
Not a big
or
man.
Is, I should say.
Joe recruited him hard, really hard. Joe was an assistant coach at the time. And he worked very hard to try and get Ditka to come to Penn State, and eventually he chose Pitt. And Ditka, of course, had to play in one of the more controversial games in the in fact, made one of the biggest, it made the single biggest play in one of the most controversial weekends in the history of the NFL. And that was the weekend of that President Kennedy was shot. President Kennedy was shot, I think, on a Thursday.
It was a Thursday, yep.
And the AFL, the upstart AFL, decided not to play games. And Pete Rozelle chose to play games. And it was not a decision that was a good one for the NFL. You know, look, you're sitting in the room, you're trying to decide what to do. You know, do you move forward? Do you move, you know, no commissioner has ever had to sit there before and have to make a decision like that. Now, the AFL commissioner, which I think was Joe Foss at the time, said, no, we're not going to play. And then Ditka made one of the truly incredible plays. I think the game was at Pittsburgh. The game was against the Steelers when he was playing for the Bears. Unbelievable catch and run. But it occurred that weekend. And but, you know, he's absolutely right, though. You know, do the game. Analyze the game. You know, people think that if you are critical, you're objective. No. You can analyze the game and just tell everybody what and why, pro and con, and do it without any malice. Both Jack Ham and Dick Girardi brilliantly dissect games without being personal about it. They just dissect the game and talk about the individuals as to why or why not they made that play.